before I began the teaching, there was a little something I'd like to talk about, and that's that ripple effect we were talking about. And as Brother Andrew was talking about, a prayer can have a ripple effect. And as you know, with the water, you throw a stone in, it keeps going and going and going. When I was talking to Aaron, I saw, if let's say you got a revelation to tell somebody, don't go to Colorado, and you told him not to go to Colorado, and he listened to you, and he didn't die in a car accident. Now, because you did that, that person is alive, and maybe can be serving Yahweh for another 50 or 60 years. And how many people in life does he impact? Now, if you didn't say that, and he ends up dying, then that's it. All right, so he died, and he can't help anybody else, you know, and so that's how important it is. And that what he said also is sometimes he would say in his prayers, I'm not qualified. Somebody else should be better than me to do this. And he would say, there's nobody else waiting in line. You are it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. So that's how important our lives are sometimes, is if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. And so somebody who could have had a revelation come to them did not ever get it. And so out on our website, like I was talking to Aaron, there's an African country called Maui. It's M-A-L, I think, W-I. And I've never even heard of it, but they've downloaded about 3 gigabytes, which is a lot. Wow. And it's right next to Mozambique. And so here's a small little country in Africa I knew nothing about. And all of a sudden, they're on our website getting information. So how important is that? We'll never know. But that ripple effect, that whatever that person does with it, you know, Yahweh's having to do it, is spreading through as it goes. But just a thought. That's not what the teaching's about.
That's
so
right,
all of our lives is impacting. And this is what we try to do. See our t-shirts. Now, we're at war. Mm-hmm. And we need to let people know we're at war and what side you're on. Mm-hmm. And so here's Jesus our Savior. Mammon's got one too. And Trump is my president. You know, we're not taking a mishy-washy stand.
We're not
Trump
taking a back seat to this.
Yeah, you should be able to wear something like that in school, and you broadcast to school, here's where I stand. Mm-hmm. All right? And then it motivates other people to say, hey, where'd you get that? I think I'll get one. And that's the ripple effect also. It gets other people to, you know, to be bold, yeah, instead of cringing behind whether they're going to offend somebody or somebody's going to key my car or whatever. It's a sad state. A lot of people put Republicans won't put a Republican, a Trump bumper sticker on their car because they're afraid somebody might, you know, key their car or something.
Can I share something about that? Donna told me yesterday that she noticed that somebody had been trying to peel off her Trump sticker off her car. And she said, I noticed it because I always check it because of the dirt, you know, on the road. She said, I'm always, you know, get my car washed. I check my Trump sticker or whatever I've got back there. And she was in the parking lot at Walmart, and this guy came up to her and said, I just want you to know, I saw somebody trying to steal that tear your sticker off, and I had a word with him.
Oh, that's good.
And it was a great, she goes, it was this great big guy. If he had a word with me, I'd listen. And she said, well, thank you very much. And he said, I think like you do.
That's good. Okay, now we'll begin. I'm clearing my throat. I should have eaten.
Need water.
So there is a. You can even put this on the website. Can a Christian lose their salvation? And most people say that we're in the age of grace. You can't lose your salvation. This goes back and forth. And it really should be the question. That's not a question. It should be, can a Christian reject Christ's lordship? Can a Christian curse Yahweh? And that's what we're going to address. And in order to before we begin, we must be able to explain to everybody Yahweh's story. And, you know, from beginning to end, it all has to fit in this parameter. If you don't understand that, then it's just piecemealed all the way through, and it's inconsistent. A lot of times it's by the traditions of men. And it makes no sense, and actually it contradicts itself. And we're just scrambling around on looking for truth. And so we're going to try to do that too, the incorporating Yahweh's story. And so we have to have the correct perspective. We are born, let me see here, some of you read a lot of this, but we're born in a world that has been blinded by Satan for how many years? 6,000 years. So he's been blinding for 6,000 years. We learn lies in, at church and at school as truths. So we've just been deceived from our birth. And finally we get this book and we'll find out, wait a minute here, as you know, Mary was a virgin, right? And all of a sudden you look up here and it says she's talking about her brothers and sisters. What is, or her firstborn. Well, that's, she's not a virgin. And the book said, and but that's a Catholic faith. But we know that he is the father of lies, which is our adversary. So we go to John 8:44. So we have been influenced by liars, and many times they didn't know it. And that is the rippling effect, too. Somebody is, you know, here's just an example, the woman caught in adultery. Talking about, you know, that didn't never happen. Mm-hmm. And the translators know it. And it keeps rippling down, rippling down, rippling down on deception. 44. You are of your father, the adversary, Yahushua speaking, and the covenant of your father you choose to be doing. He was a murderer from the beginning, and in the truth he stood not. That's our opponent. Because truth is not in him. Whensoever he speaketh falsehood, of his own he speaketh, because false he is, and the father of it. But as for me, because the truth I speak, you do not believe me. So that's the same. We're in this battle. We're going to speak the truth, and they're going to call us a heretic. Mm-hmm. When they're actually the heretic, and the Democrat Party is known for this. Everything that they do is just the opposite of what they say. So when they say affordicare, it's the unaffordable care. Mm-hmm. If it says equality for all, no, it's not equality for Christians, it's for homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on and on, and they're the masters of deception. We are deceived. Bible translations deceive us. And we know that the NIV, I mean the King James and the NIV and the New Living, they're getting worse and worse as time goes along. Seminaries deceive us. Pastors deceive us. And you could say, well, how dare you say that? Well, let's just look at the deceivers in Yahushua's time. And that was the high priest.
Yeah.
You know, that's a top dog. Be like the Pope, scribes and Pharisees. That's ones who put him to death. So, I mean, why would we think anything different right now? So, deceptions that we presently have is man has an immortal soul, lie. There is a hell, lie. Billions of people are in heaven and hell right now, lie. Trinity, lie. You cannot die, lie. And we will live in heaven, lie. Yahushua is God. Or Yahweh, lie, etc., etc. And so we just got a list, and these are all foundational things that we've been lied to, and we've received in us, and now we've purged out of us because of this book. So our perception is incorrect; it's an illusion. So we have to look at, when we look at the Bible, we're thinking about heaven and hell, wrong. You know, we're talking about immortality of man because he has a soul. And so when he dies, his body, his soul leaves. Well, wait a minute. Yahweh says, from dust thou art, till dust you shall return. Well, that's not the soul. That's his body. I mean, they're just going to have to keep doing it. Hey, that's just Genesis 3, for goodness sakes. But the sun does not rise or set, does it?
No.
The planet rotates. That's perception. Mm-hmm. When we say the sun rose, no, it didn't rise. The earth turned. That's perception. The sun does not appear in the daytime. It clouds disperse. The sun's always there, right? So it's perception of how you're looking at it. An elevator does not take you down. You're falling through the shaft. It's stopping you from, it's controlling your fall is all it's doing. It takes you up, but it doesn't take you down. That's perception. They go, the elevator takes me down. No, it doesn't take me down. I'm falling. In a controlled fall. And so that's perception, so we have to really look at the word to say the same truths that we want to look for. Now, so can a Christian lose salvation? And so we say salvation is not something that you can put in your pocket, like a coin, to say I lost my dollar bill or I lost my wallet, salvation. So what is salvation? And the word salvation is Yahushua.
You know, the word salvation?
Yeah, not Yahushua. So people will call Christ, still trying to get, you know, and these are Hebrews too. I mean, supposedly. They know Yahweh, they say Yahweh, but they don't say Yahushua. And actually, John Shanahan did that on one of these teachings. It's Yahshua. Y-A-S-H-U-A. And that is the word for salvation. That's not a proper noun. Mm-hmm. So, Yahushua is Yah, is salvation. And that's what Christ's name is. But that's salvation. And what is, okay, so we have to go back. Okay, what can we lose? Salvation. Well, what is that? What do I have? Salvation. Can I put it in a box? Can I put it in? And so what are we really looking at? So look at Isaiah 45. Give you just an illustration of being saved, or being, it comes from the word safe. But really, it's deliverance in many cases. So Isaiah, this is a good illustration, Isaiah 45, verse 20. And this is the word Yahshua. Assemble yourself and come, draw near together, ye escape to the nations they know not, who carry the wood of their carved image, and pray unto an El who cannot save. There's that word.
Yahshua.
Yeah, it's not Yahshua, but it comes from Yahshua. We'll see Yahshua salvation down below. Tell you and bring near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who let this be known aforetime? In times past declared it? Was it not I, Yahweh? And there is none else that is Elohim is besides me. An El righteous and ready to save. There is none besides me. Turn unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am El and there is none else. So this is salvation. And so we're looking at Yahweh saving us. And it could be different things. It could be where they asked Christ to save us when the ship was sinking. Or obviously we're talking about life age abiding, death. So one thing about all of us is once we're born into this world, there's a realization right away that people die. And so all of us have a clock that's ticking. And so the question is, that gets our attention to be able to say, if we didn't die, we wouldn't be looking for anything. But you say, I don't want to die. Well, there are choices, and that's where you said audition, which is interesting, but it's really an invitation in which we will be able to see. Let's go. The question should be, you know, does a Christian have free will?
Yes.
Yeah. Can he curse Yahweh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A Christian can curse Yahweh. Can he refuse to obey or submit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he can. Can he refuse the new earth under Christ's rule?
Yes.
And so, real simple, is that can a Christian, and so we should say this, can a Christian lose, you can't lose salvation, and I would say, can a Christian refuse the new earth? Well, yeah. Well, then why would you put him there? If he doesn't want to go. Mm-hmm. We're automatically, in our own mindset, thinking that everybody wants to go. Mm-hmm. No. You know, I would say the majority of the population don't want to go, as we will see.
Yeah, so, there's no drunkenness, there's no stealing.
Yeah, the thing is, if you will not bow to Christ right now and obey Him, why would it be any different then? You know, real simple. You will, and just ask a person, you know, a person say, are you willing to bow to Christ? No.
Right.
So they made their choice. So Yahweh's story is the reign of Yahweh. So this is the preparation for the new earth. An invitation of who wants to come and live on the new earth and who does not want to live on the new earth. Who wants to live under Christ and Yahweh and who does not want to live under Christ and Yahweh. So the right perspective is mankind is given free will to choose life or death. The story begins, and that's what we've got to tell people, Christ, people never come to Christ and say, good Lord, what must I do to go to heaven? He never says that.
Yeah.
But that's what every Christian talks about. How do I go to heaven? How do I get to go to heaven? Well, that's not the question. The question is, what must I do to have life age abiding? Life age abiding. That's the question. And that doesn't even enter into this conversation with people. But that's what the man did. So beginning in the garden and continues into the New Jerusalem. So here's the book. Paradise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we got?
Paradise.
Earth. At the end, what do we got?
Earth.
All right, there's no heaven kingdom up there. There are for celestial messengers and for the cherubims and things like that, but this is earth. We're earthbound. That's Revelation 21. All mankind have been invited to live forever with Yahweh on the new earth, and that's called the Tree of Life. It's a bilateral covenant. You remember what bilateral means? Bi means two. It's a bilateral covenant. And it is to submit to Yahweh's will. Do you want to go to the new earth? You might want to stand up. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
He says sorry. Do you want to go to the new earth? Yes. Okay. Well, here's what you've got to do. You're going to submit. You're going to submit to my will. Well, I don't want to submit to your will. Then you don't go to the new earth. Real simple. Let's see here. Yeah. Example. Now, here's just an example. It's just so simple. So this is in order to teach people about losing salvation. That's not the question. There are people here in the world who want to become U.S. citizens. So let's just say that's the new earth. They want U.S. citizen. But what are the requirements? Well, the requirements for the covenant. Here's the covenant. The United States makes a bilateral covenant. You must be a required age of at least 18 years old. Continually and physically live in the United States as a green card holder for a certain number of years. Establish a residency in the state or U.S. citizenship and immigration services. Have a good moral character. That's a requirement. Become a citizen. Be proficient in basic spoken and written English. And demonstrate knowledge of U.S. history and government. I don't want to do that. You're not coming.
Yeah.
You're not in.
Yeah.
You're not going to agree to the covenant. Register for military service if a male of a certain age and be willing to perform civil service when required. Swear allegiance to the United States. Now, you have many Democrats who will not do that today, and there are senators and congressmen who would not serve it. The Oath of Allegiance to the United States is a sworn declaration that every citizenship application must recite during a formal ceremony in order to become a naturalized American citizen. When taking the oath, the new citizen promises to fulfill the following duties. And this is what we do with Yahweh. You want to come to the new earth? Let's do a covenant. Support and defend the U.S. Constitution and the laws of the United States against its enemies. Give up all allegiance, that's it, give up all allegiance to any other nation or sovereign. You cannot have Beelzebub. You cannot have Baal. You cannot be worshiping some other god as your provider. In our society's government. You have to give up your reliance on government as your provider. And renounce hereditary or noble titles, if any. Provide military or civilian service when called upon by the government to do so. That's your requirement. And then if you do that, then you get the promises of the United States. You get to vote. You get the protection of the United States. And you get the benefits of being a U.S. citizen. And that's their part. So here's what the United States does. You can work here. And here's what you have to do. That's a bilateral covenant. Now we say, can a citizen, renounce their citizenship?
Yeah.
So can a person renounce their sonship with Yahweh? Yeah. Say, I don't want to be your son anymore. I don't want to be a child of God.
What
so renouncing...
Spirit?
Pardon me?
That was the spirit.
No, there's no spirit.
What?
No, not what you're talking about. Now that you receive Holy Spirit, which is a gift. You will no longer be an American citizen if you voluntarily give up, renounce your U.S. citizen. We have known a pastor for 20 years that did that. He rejected Yahweh, he rejected the Bible, called his dog Jesus, and that's just one person we know. And so we can see different people, King Saul, King Solomon. We see a lot of different people who, at the end, which we will see, is very important, where all of a sudden, how could you do that? And so think of that. Allegiance to Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. Did Solomon give 100% allegiance at the end of his life?
No,
he did not. He gave it to his wife's gods. Wow. You know, you just broke your covenant. You might lose your U.S. citizenship in specific cases, including if you run for public office in a foreign country. Makes sense. Enter military service in a foreign country, because now you no longer have allegiance to us. Apply for citizenship in a foreign country. Could a Christian apply for, you know, to become part of this world and reject all Christianity? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could be a strip bar owner. You could run a house of prostitution. Whatever. What are you doing? You just gave up everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the intention of giving up U.S. citizenship, can make an act of treason against the United States. So this is a look at it. You know, so does a U.S. citizen have freedom of will? Yes. Do Christians have freedom of will? Yes. Can they change their mind and say, I hate Yahweh and I hate Christ and I spit on them? Yes. They can do that. They have freedom of will. Now, so Yahweh's invitation was given to Cain and Abel. And so we always got to remember and tell you guys, the rule is very simple. You're either a Cain or you're an Abel. There's no in-between. You know, there's not a middle position. One is going to die age abidantly, and one is going to live age abidantly. Those are the two connections, and it's interesting how Yahweh gave us Cain first. And the first verse is, and we'll go into this, the world is full of Cains, which they defy Yahweh's law. And so the opposite of submission is defiance. So let's go to Genesis 4, verse 1 through 16.
Verse 1.
Yeah, we're just going to read this. You want to read 1 through 16, Wendy?
Now the man, having come to know even his wife, she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man, even Yahweh. And she went on to bear his brother Abel, and Abel became a feeder of sheep, whereas Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came to pass, after certain days, that Cain brought in of the fruit of the ground a present to Yahweh. Abel also, even he, brought in the firstlings of his sheep, and of their fat, and Yahweh approved of Abel, and of his present. But of Cain and his present he approved not. And he angered Cain greatly, and his countenance fell. So then Yahweh said unto Cain, wherefore hath it angered thee? And wherefore hath thy countenance fallen? Shall it not, if thou do right, be lifted up? But if thou do not right, at the entrance a sin-bearer is lying. Unto thee, moreover, shall be his longing, though thou rule over him. And Cain said unto Abel his brother, let us go into the field. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Then said Yahweh unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, keeper of my brother am I? And he said, what hast thou done? With a voice the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground. Now therefore accursed art thou from the ground which hath opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give its vigor to thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, greater is my punishment than I can bear. Lo, thou hast driven me out this day from off the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. So shall I become a wanderer and a fugitive in the earth. And it shall come to pass, whosoever findeth me will slay me. And Yahweh said to him, not so. Whoever slayeth Cain, sevenfold shall it be avenged. So Yahweh set for Cain a sign that none finding him should smite him.
So Cain went forth from the face of the presence of Yahweh. That's the word face. And when you leave the face of Yahweh, you're in trouble.
I didn't say face.
The word presence is face.
Oh, okay.
And when you read about the continents too, That's the word face also. So the face is used quite a bit. And so Psalms 34, 15, and 16 is the eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous and his ears towards their cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness to cut from the earth their memory. So did Cain, was it justifiable what he did?
No.
Is he submitting to Yahweh?
No.
No, he's not at all. And when you think, how could a human being kill his own brother because Yahweh liked him? And that's why you murdered your brother. So 1 John 3, verse 10.
I can't think of people saying hatred for Trump.
Yeah, we're going to see something about here, about man, what mankind can actually do. And I think we need to tell our kids and everybody else to show you this is our world. So this is a little bit more about Cain. 1 John 3:10. Herein are manifest the children of Yahweh and the children of the adversary. Whosoever is not doing righteousness is not of Yahweh, nor yet he that is not loving his brother. Because this is the message which ye have heard from the beginning, that we should be loving one another. Not just as Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And for what cause slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his works were wicked, whereas those of his brother were righteous. Choice. This is A or B. There's this A or B. Which are you, righteous or you wicked? And Jude, next book over, two books over. Jude 1, 5, I'm going to read this. I am minded, therefore, to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, when our people out of Egypt he hath saved, and in the next place them that believed not destroyed. Messengers also, even them who had not kept their own principalities, but had forsaken their proper dwelling, unto the judgment of the great day and perpetual bonds of the thick gloom hath he reserved. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, having in like manner to these given themselves over to fornication and gone away after other kind of flesh, lie exposed as an example, a penalty of age-abiding fire undergoing. In like manner, nevertheless, even these in their dreaming flesh indeed defiled, while lordship they set aside and dignitaries they defamed. Whereas Michael, the chief messenger, when with the adversary disputing he was reasoning about the body of Moses, does not impose on him a defamatory sentence, but says, Yahweh rebuke thee. But these whatsoever things indeed they know not, they defame, and whatsoever things naturally like the irrational creatures they well understand. By these are they bringing themselves in ruin, alas for them, because in the way of Cain have they gone, and in the air of Balaam, wages have they run riot, and in the gainsaying of Korah have they perished. So Cain is, from the beginning all the way to the end, the ways of Cain. And here is an example. Can a man commit evils as evil as Satan, as the adversary? And yeah, I think he has just as much ability as Lucifer when he fell. It's not, he doesn't have a name. Lucifer's not a name either. But he was an angel of light, and there was messengers that went with him. They chose, and there's no different, with this freedom of will that Yahweh gave us, this freedom of will to their extreme, they can do the same thing. And actually be arm in arm with Satan and enjoy it. Mao Zedong killed, up to, and these are going to be up to, 70 million people. Stalin, 60 million. Nazis, 17 million. Japanese, 14 million. Pol Pot, 3 million. North Korea, 3 million. So we're going to look at how evil man can actually become. Now, to our mind, we can look differently, but the people out there who go to the dark side, all right, they are limitless on the wickedness that they can do, as with our adversary. Let's go to 2 King Hazael, 2 Kings 8. Just to give you a little example. So we got to get that in our minds. And people say, man is basically good. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit. We know Cain right off the bat. murder his brother, the first man. The first man born on earth murdered his brother. So don't give me this stuff. And so we've got to have our eyes opened on this too, of what mankind will do to each other. And we're seeing that with Donald Trump. I mean, the wickedness of the Democrat Party is, you know, they are enemies of all unrighteousness. Okay, Aaron, you want to read?
Yeah.
2 Kings 8, 7 through 15. Aaron?
I'm sorry. Oh.
Can you read chapter, you know, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 7 through 15.
Okay, I didn't know you asked me to read, sorry. And Elijah came into Damascus when Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick, and it was told him, saying, "The man of Elohim hath come as far as this place." So the king said unto Hazael, "Take in thy hand a present and go to meet the man of Elohim. So shalt thou inquire of Yahweh from him, saying, Shall I recover from the sickness?" So Hazael went to meet him and took a present in his hand, even every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me unto thee, saying, Shall I recover from the sickness?" And Elijah said unto him, Go, say it to him, Thou shalt recover, yet Yahweh hath shown me that he will die. There you go. I'm sorry, how far?
I'll go ahead and read. And he settled his countenance, and that would be face. Every time you see a countenance, it's the word face.
Okay.
"And fixed it until he turned pale, and the man of Elohim wept. Then said Hazael, Why is my Lord weeping? And he said, Because I know what thou wilt do to the sons of Israel by way of harm. Their fortresses thou shalt set on fire, and these young and their choice young men will thou slay." You know, so here's what a man will do. Thy choice young men with the sword thou wilt slay, and their children thou wilt dash in pieces, and their women with child thou wilt rip up. And Hazael said, "But what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do these great things?" And Elijah said, "Yahweh has shown thee unto me as king over Syria." So he departed from Elijah and came in unto his Lord and said unto him, What said Elijah unto thee? And he said, "He told me thou wouldest recover." But it came to pass on the morrow that he took the coverlet and dripped it in water and spread over his face, and he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead. So this is the highest, you know, here's a pregnant woman, and people will come and rip her womb open to kill the woman and the child. That's humans, and will do such a thing. And we could say, well, no, that's just not the case. Well, let's go to Revelation 20, because it was their parents, it was their upbringing, it was, you know, they're misunderstood, you know, in psychology class, and there's always a reason why people do evil. Yeah, because they've chosen it. Simple. And now, here's chapter 20 of Revelation. Is Christ's 1,000-year reign. He's reigning. A righteous king. Yes, this is the new earth. Got food, everything that you want. Got everything that you want. Justice and food, everything else.
No wars.
Yeah, no wars. No everything fear. Like that. Satan has been bound. And we go to 20 verse 7. "And as soon as the 1,000 years shall be ended, the accuser shall be loosened out of his prison, and will go forth to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, the Gog and Magog, to gather them together unto the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." These are people who are on the new earth. "And they came up over the breadth of the land and surrounded the camp of the saints," the holy ones, "and the beloved city, and there came down fire out of heaven and devoured them." That's man. That's Cain. Right there. I mean, you could say Yahweh talked to Cain. You know? And Cain spit on Yahweh in his actions. So that's what we have to realize. That's what's happening. So with Yahweh's covenant, it's the whole heart of it is submission. Submission, submission. With Cain is defiance, defiance, defiance. I defy. So the Democratic Party defies what is Yahweh says.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party, a great percentage of it, is trying to submit to what Yahweh says. You don't go there, but if you go to Philippians 2, 1 through 11, you're going to find out Christ was our model of submission. So he cannot jump in and say, I want to be top dog. No. You have to go into lowness of mind, emptied himself in a servant form, humbled himself, obedient unto the death of the cross. That was your way. That was total submission. Then Yahweh exalted him. So our problem is we're haughty and we've got to be brought low. So we can bring ourselves low. Ezekiel chapter 18. And, you know, we just kind of go over the rules again. What are these rules? This covenant. You know, this covenant rules.
808, right on the
Excuse me. Which now, that's 803, Ezekiel 18, verse 5 through 13. I mean, and when any man shall be righteous and do justice and righteousness upon the mountain hath not eaten, and his eyes have not lifted up unto the manufactured gods of the house of Israel, and the wife of his neighbor hath he not defiled, and unto woman during her removal hath not approached, and no man hath treated with violence, but his death plague hath restored, plunder hath not seized, his bread to the famished hath given, and the naked hath covered with clothing, upon interest hath not put out his money, and increase hath not accepted, from dishonesty hath turned back his hand, justice and truth hath done between man and man, in my statutes hath walked, and my regulations hath observed to do them in truth. Righteous he is he, and he shall surely live, declareth my Lord Yahweh. Now the opposite, but he that hath begotten a son, who is a violent man, a shedder of blood, who doeth the like of any of these things, whereas he none of those other things doeth, for indeed upon the mountains he hath eaten, and the wife of his neighbor hath defiled, the oppressed and the needy hath treated with violence, hath ruthlessly plundered, the pledge hath not restored, but unto the manufactured gods hath lifted up his eyes, abominations hath wrought, upon interest hath put out, and increase hath accepted, and shall he live? He shall not live. All these abominations he hath done, he shall surely be put to death, his blood is upon himself shall be. So really see, who is submitting themselves to Yahweh, and who is not submitting, who is humble and who is haughty. And this is the same way. And then you go into verse 21 and 24. And we had this discussion with Wendy. So all of a sudden, here's a guy, a pastor, for 20 years, did a lot of good stuff. And then, last 20 years, he just goes hog wild into fornication, whatever you want to go on to. And Christ is no longer his master. But as for the lawless man, when he shall turn back from all his sins which he has committed and observe all my statutes and do justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. So if a lawless man turns, he shall not die. None of his transgressions which he hath committed shall be remembered against him, and his righteousness which he hath done, he shall live. Could I take delight in the death of the lawless, dear man, my Lord Yahweh? Must it not be in his turning from his ways in which he shall live? But when a righteous man shall turn away from his righteousness and do that which is perverse, because now you can say, okay, I've got a good cushion right here for Yahweh. So, you know, I've got 100% deposit, so I'm going to go 80% and not withdraw my whole deposit in wickedness. And that's what you're going to do. Shall do according to all the abominations which lawless men have done, shall he live, and none of his righteous acts which he hath done shall be remembered. Well, you got to think of just the heart. Now, you have to think, I'm coming to the new earth. Now, this is the heart of the individual. You know, the other guy turned and said, I repent. This guy says, I know.
You owe me.
No, yeah, I'm betting on that these good things I did is going to get me in. And you're not going to overlook the bad stuff. None of his righteous acts which he hath done shall be remembered, and his treachery wherein he hath been treacherous, and in his sin which he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So it's a very simple thing to be able to look at people of changing. Now, that's the Old Testament. That's correct. Matthew, we have to go there. Matthew 25, 31 to 46, we're talking about the goats and the sheep. And so I have one pastor talk about, you know, they put on Facebook that 50% of Christians believe they need good works to get to heaven. Okay? And I said, well, it could be that they read Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and here's the goats and the sheep. Christ comes back, and the goats are over here. You didn't give me water. You didn't give me food. When did we do that to you? When we didn't do the least of them, you did it to me. Be gone. And then here's the sheep, which you gave me water, you gave me clothing, you gave me food. Are those works? Yeah, absolutely those are works. And he said, well, when did we do that? When you did it to the least of me, you did it to me. Come with me. So, well, maybe they read that. You know, when a person talks about works. And how about in Revelations 20:11-15, we see, well, let's go there. At the end of the book, so then we got to reconcile our age that we live in with the whole book. Now, 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their what?
Works.
Their works. They're very simple. And you can say, well, maybe they read this verse. But you're talking about works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and you know that the people were thrown into the lake of fire if you're not written in that book. So we are New Earth bound. You know, if we keep our submission, and when we sin, which is fine, we're all going to sin, and you just, you know, you ask for forgiveness on that sin. But that's not the rest of the story, so there's other parts of the story. So, and so to revise our story, an invitation is to the new earth. Life, age, or body, we get rewards. If the people who reject the invitation, which the majority of the people do, they get judgment and punishment. So it's not just thrown into the lake of fire. All right? You're going to be punished for the stuff that you hurt people on intentionally. And that's called, and then death. So you'll be punished. And so what we've got is that people are going to be thrown into hell and tortured ever and ever and ever. So many people are witnessing to people not to have them want to come to the new earth. They're trying to stop them from avoiding hell.
A fire escape.
That's a fire. The only person that Jesus Christ is a fire escape from hell. That's not the people you want on the new earth. And those are what they call deathbed conversions. You know, when it comes down to that. Let me see. So, if you reject it, now what we're going to do is we're going to look at judgment and punishment. So punishment, we did this before on vindication. So we have to say, well, no, you know, in the church age, in our particular age, if I say I'm sorry, that's it. We're forgiven. That's good. But did you do any harm? You know, if you did harm to yourself, if a person's looking at a Playboy magazine or doing things like that, and there's nobody else harmed, then obviously there's no problem here. But if I stole $10,000 from somebody, and I spent it, and I said, I'm sorry, Lord, thank you for forgiving me, and that person should forgive me too, right? Mm-hmm. What's expected?
Yeah. Restitution.
Yeah, it's called restitution, to restore the oppressed one. Give them back their $10,000 plus. Well, I don't have it. Well, go work. All right? If it takes you 20 years, you're going to pay back that, and that's called justice. That's called vindication for the oppressed, and we know we've done a teaching on this. There's one thing about saying, I forgive, you know, forgive that individual. There's somebody else who has lost their life because of what you did. And or they lost their husband, who lost their financial support, who wrecked their life because of what you did. Now you said you're sorry. Now we all end up in the new earth together, right? And the person right next to me is the person who wrecked my life. All right? They got away with it, right? My life is, well, I mean, we would think of that, according to teaching. Yeah. Well, they were forgiven, right?
The thing about the African slaves beside their slave owner.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute, this person, for what they call vindication, where Yahweh says, I will help the oppressed, that's not justice. This person wrecked my life for 50 years, and he's off just like that? You know, we would never do that in the court of law, but that's justice. And so they will pay their price, which is Yahweh knows exactly how much they owe. And that's called vindications, as we know at 2 Thessalonians 1. So part of the whole story, justice is very important. Well, I don't like that. I want forgiveness. And like we said before, if you won't repay the person, then where's your heart? You know, your heart is evil, is what it is, because you want to get away with it, don't you? Yes, I want to get away with it. Yahweh has a lot of money, let him pay her back. I already bought a car with it and wrecked it, or whatever. So the point is on that is, if you do something to people and you hurt them, correct it. And guess what? No problem. Because it's corrected on earth. I don't want to be correcting that, you know, when I meet Christ. Because we'll see that in 2 Corinthians 5:10. People forget all about this. But 2 Thessalonians 1:5 through 10. I'm sorry, Aaron. You might have to. And approve the righteous judgment of Yahweh to the end. Ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom or the reign of Yahweh, in behalf of which you are also suffering. Whenever you see the kingdom of God, it's really the reign of Yahweh. And this is what we're all preparing for, the reign, the rule of Yahweh. I want to be on a planet where he is, ruling. If at least it is a righteous saying with Yahweh to do what? Recompense affliction unto them that did what?
Afflicted
you. Is that righteous?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is. And unto you that are afflicted, release with us by the revealing of the Lord Yahushua from heaven with his messengers of power in a flaming fire, holding forth vengeance against them that refuse to know Yahweh and them who decline to hearken unto the glad message of our Lord Yahushua, who indeed a penalty shall pay, age abiding destruction from the face of the Yahweh and from the glory of his might. So we can see, vengeance is mine, I will do what?
Repay.
Real simple. It's
not
like,
you sow, you'll reap.
Yeah. And so, but in our Christian deal, we've got to look at the whole picture, and it all has to fit. We can't say, well, we're told to forgive. Well, let me ask you this. Does Yahweh forgive you if you are not sorry? Mm-mm. Well, then he's breaking his own commandment, because he's supposed to forgive, right? Well, think about it. Yeah. Well, then this is how you respond to people, you know, because did the person ask for forgiveness? No. Is the person sorry? No. Then why am I forgiving them? And it's really the word dismiss. You can dismiss it from your mind and give it to Yahweh. And that's the word dismiss, which is a whole other teaching there. It's not...
This is the word forgive?
Yeah. Many times when... many times when Christ dismissed the crowd, same word. Dismiss. It's the same word as forgive. They just translated for dismiss there and forgive over here. So very simply. And so we know Yahweh does not forgive me if I'm not sorry, if I don't repent. But I'm supposed to forgive everybody for whatever reason. And that's understandable because there's scriptures that appear that way. And we know, let's see here, in 2 Corinthians 5, we'll go over this again, and this is what people really need to be remembered of and driven home. 5:10, you just need to memorize it. I'm on a lot of Christian sites throughout the world, and it's really, you know, not by our works of righteousness, by his faith alone, we're forgiven, everything's free, you know, don't worry about it. And it's like a license to sin, which is really called lasciviousness.
Yeah.
You know, that, and so just gotta remember this. For we all must needs be made...
Wait a minute, where are you?
10.
So you just got to remember, it's just 2 Corinthians 5:10. Just that. Little check here on your life. Because you want to know this before it's the end.
Yeah.
All right, very simply. So correct your junk.
Yeah.
Correct it. And it won't come up. Just like if you paid your price and you know, if I broke a law, I pay the penalty and I'm going on. If I keep throwing the parking tickets in my glove box, all right, for 10 years, guess what? I'm still going to have to pay that. I should have just paid it originally because now it's interest payment and everything else on it. So now you're put in jail because you owe $10,000 in parking fines. Some people do this.
Like taxes.
And they're arrested. Yeah, they're arrested. For we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may give back the things done by the means of his body according to the things which he practiced. Very simple. Whether what?
Good or corrupt.
Good or corrupt. I mean, real simple. Well, that's no good. I like this freedom. Well, I can sin and not have to pay the price. So Colossians 3:25, you have to remember that, just these two. Just keep them in our minds, just to get people back in line. Melania 3:25, Colossians 3:25.
Okay. Found it.
Read it.
For he that acteth unrighteously shall get back what he had unrighteously done, and there is no respect of persons.
Any questions?
No.
I mean, just do things right. When you blow it, correct it. Very simply. Now, we're running late, so I'm going to do a summation. But we know we're in the age of the sacred secret. And people will say, you know, our salvation is a gift. Well, really, the gift is Holy Spirit. And that starts with Acts 2:38. Repent, and you shall receive the free gift of Holy Spirit. So we find out Spirit, and that's Acts 2:38, 8:20, 10:45, 11:17. Gift, Holy Spirit. It is not retracted when you sin, like it was with Saul, King Saul. It was taken from him. That is in 1 Samuel 16:13-14. And David was asking that it would not be taken from him in Psalms 51:11, from when he had Uriah murdered. Mm-hmm. So that's retracted. From Scripture, I see none of that happening. So a person who receives Holy Spirit at one particular time, and that's what we're talking about, people who turn, who receive Holy Spirit, and it appears they have it for the rest of their life. Now, it's going to be clouded because if they're living in darkness, it's going to be dormant. But it's still there. Now, there is a gift of righteousness, which is in Romans 5:15-17. And the big thing is, since we're running out of time, you go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and read it, and you'll see a whole series where people who knew the word and turned from it. And it talks about a dog going back to his vomit, and a sow going back to her wallowing in the wash. So people have freedom of will. They can do that, and people have actually done it. You know, so can a U.S. citizen renounce his citizenship? Yes. Can a Christian reject Christ's lordship? Yes. If he went to the new earth, can he reject Christ's lordship?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't be on the new earth. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to it, because you're not going to obey me. And so, unless I said, give him a lobotomy.
But they do reject.
No, but those are not people who are resurrected. Those are natural men who are on the earth. Okay. You know, so you can't give them a lobotomy. Well, I'll just give them a lobotomy. And so most Christians just let everybody have a lobotomy, and then they can put it on the new earth and just walk around like this. No, they don't want to be there. People today don't want Christ, and they don't want the new earth, period.
That's
right?
They believe.
And why wouldn't a believer do the same thing? A person could do that. Would he refuse to bow to Christ? Yes. Is he rejecting the new earth? Yes, he doesn't want to be there. Because he'd rather die? Fine. It is really fine, because you don't want Christ. Dying is a great end of everything, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because you're annihilated. That's it. Pay the price, pay your dues, and then you die. Do non-Christians reject Christ and Yahweh's offer? Yeah, they live on, you know, on the earth. It goes all the way through here. The whole book of Revelation is giving people a chance to repent. And you know what they do? They don't repent. Mm. They rejoice when the two witnesses are murdered.
Yeah.
They have a party. You know, and they curse at Yahweh and they sneer at Yahweh through all these things. And so, well, people are basically good. No. Yeah. Look at Psalms 2, 1 through 3. Look, it's 8 o'clock. You can go ahead and sneak out.
Okay, well.
Psalm, let's kind of do this. This is back in the Psalms. This is the heart of man. And so we got to tell our kids that, you know, the wickedness is taught in schools and everything else, that all people are basically good. That's a lie. They can choose to be good.
That's
2, verse 1. Wherefore have nations assembled in turmoil?
Tumult.
Or should peoples utter an empty thing? The kings of the earth take their station, and grave men have met by appointment together against who?
Yeah.
Against the Creator. Yeah. Really? And against His Anointed One. And this is nothing new. Mm. They are not going to a place called hell. Okay, that would bother everybody. Tortured ever. You know? So here's a person who is not going to bow to Christ. But they obey all the laws. You know, they stay married the rest of their life. They don't fornicate. They don't rob anybody. Anything like that. But I'm not going to bow to Christ. Good. You know, you don't have to pay anything. You know, you just die. And when you get up, okay, you chose
not to
reject the invitation. Yes, I reject the invitation. Lake of fire. No problem. And you see, the lake of fire, that's called a second death. So the story is Abel equals submission, equals life age abiding on the new earth. Cain is the other story. Defiance, punishment, and a lake of fire, the second death. So we have the whole book, paradise, paradise lost. End of the book, what? Paradise regained. And here's a poem by Milton, done in 1600s. Go ahead.
Okay.